The smartest guys around are about to break it down like they've won the game a million times.
Well, actually, they didn't really win the game at all.
Survivor know-it-alls.
Yes, that's right, Stephen Fishback, the Siskel and Ebert of podcasting.
Yes, I am the Siskel and Ebert of podcasting. And it's great that you're here, too. It's great that you're here as well. Rob, what an episode. It was so long and also very filled with strategy and action.
Right? Are you not entertained, people?
Are you not entertained?
Yeah.
Is that a thing? Is that like a quote? Am I quoting something?
Yeah. Yeah. I believe that's Gladiator, Stephen.
Oh, yes. 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 So long ago. We forget so soon.
It's a while back. It's a while back. I think that was like right around the time that Survivor started. So, right.
What? Are you serious? Come on.
I think that was probably like 99 and Survivor started 2000. So right around the same era. But Stephen, let's not talk about, because we're Siskel and Ebert. Just
2000.
Nailed
both
it.
Started.
Nailed
well,
it.
I think we should spend the rest of this podcast comparing Gladiator and Survivor.
Yeah. What is this? The Wiggle Room, Stephen? Come on. We got to get into this.
Why can't we talk about the things, fun things?
Okay, because we have a 2-hour episode of Survivor to break
two
down.
2 hours.
Hashtag epic blindside happened.
Yeah.
We got a lot to break down here on a very exciting night. I feel like that reading the social media, I feel like that the Survivor fans have been, I feel like that this was the night people were waiting for.
Yeah, this was great. And, you know, I saw someone commenting on Twitter, everybody left in the game at this point, and probably after the first episode, you know, once they got rid of JP, everybody left in the game at that point was playing as hard as they could be. And that's what makes a great season of Survivor, is that everyone is playing. Oh, it was Ari Ferrari. Everyone is playing really hard to win.
Yeah. You got a retweet for that. It was a great job. So, Stephen, a lot to break down here in our 2 hours of Survivor. Of course, JP and Joe are out of the game. We're down to just 7 people left. Believe it or not, the finale is only 3 weeks from tonight. So we are 21 days away from the Survivor finale. But I'll tell you what, right now, we're only 7 days away from Survivor Know-It-All's invasion of Austin, Texas, next Wednesday night. Are you packed yet, Stephen?
No, but I have huge news for you, Rob. I have really big news.
Stephen Fishback has huge news, everybody. All right, let's get ready. News. Let's get ready for this.
Breaking news are happening now.
Stephen Fishback with some breaking news.
I got a big guest confirmed.
Yes.
Joe Dowdle's going to be there.
Joe Dowdle.
First appearance on the podcast ever, right? I believe he will be the first person or the only person at the panel who has never appeared on the podcast before.
Yes. Okay. And
so that's pretty cool.
It's pretty well. No, that's not true, because Colby Donaldson has never been on the podcast.
What? You didn't interview him for Heroes versus Villains?
No, I didn't. I wasn't. I wasn't doing the interviews then.
Yeah.
So Burton Roberts has never been on the podcast.
You never did a Top Shot promotional?
No. So, of course, a star-studded night.
A lot of square jaws, though. 3 square-jawed men who have not been on the podcast before.
Kim Spradlin.
Not a square jaw.
Reynold Topher.
Square jaw.
Missy. Who am I missing? Brett LaBelle. Brett LaBelle's a special guest.
Whoa. Who's his special guest?
I'll give you a hint. It's a man. That's it. That's the only hint I'm going to give you. Okay. Missy is coming. So really, it's going to be a really crazy night. Rob has a website.com/AustinKIA after party to follow. And of course, VIP dinner is available with all the survivors that we can get there for the dinner, including Stephen Fishback.
Oh, and you know, I'm really excited that there's going to be so many finalists there. Get finalists of some people that I can talk about the day 39 experience.
Yes.
You know, I feel like that's been missing on the podcast.
That's been missing. So I hope you can join us there. For more information, check that out. Rob has a website.com/AustinKIA. Patrons, there is a $10 discount code for you guys. Find out all the information as well about the VIP stuff. Also, Stephen, today's the last day where you have the RHAP t-shirts on sale. Rob has a website.com/shirts. Of course, you can also find those on our special gift giving homepage, robhaswebsite.com/gifts, with our Amazon links and everything with our special holiday offers from our sponsors. Exit interviews. I got a little bit of breaking news myself here. We will only be talking to one player tomorrow.
Oh boy,
Steven.
That's a big differential there. That's a great podcast or a less great podcast.
So wow, we will only be speaking with the second player voted out tomorrow. I believe that the first player voted out has limited availability, is what the word is.
Limited verbal availability.
He will have
run out of words by the time he gets to
you. I don't know if it's limited words or limited availability, but I've been told that he will be responding to 3 email questions that I have sent to CBS publicity, and then we will speak with Joe on the exit interview podcast tomorrow.
You got to ask him things like what? That's got to be number one, right?
I don't want to waste one of my 3 wishes on that question. That being said, Stephen, we've got a great bunch of podcasts coming up this week as well. Well, Hannah Shapiro is going to be here with me in the studio to talk through everything. She's a lot of fun. Looking forward to getting into everything with her. And then the feedback show that everybody has been waiting for all season long.
Man.
The freakiest freak, Bryce Isaiah Johnston, will join us this weekend. Get your feedback questions in for Bryce coming up on the feedback show this weekend. But Stephen, I guess let's start off with getting into...
we've been podcasting for 10 minutes. We're not starting off.
All right. Relax. You know, a lot of people enjoy the show, myself included.
I like the show. I love the show. That's why I keep coming back every week.
Right, so
you'll know when I'm done when there's a blank wall, you just see the poster and I'm not here.
So Stephen, I guess you tweeted about this that first vote tonight where it looked like that the group of four had everything lined up. They had a free shot on goal for anybody they wanted, and JP was the target, and it was really not telegraphed by the show to us in any way. It was a big blindside, an epic blindside, as the hashtag said.
Yeah, epic blindside of the viewer, epic blindside of JP. You know, they did kind of spell out, they had these 3 options, right? You have Chrissy, who's very smart, Ryan, who's smart and has an idol, and JP, who's a great challenge competitor. That's kind of how they broke it down. Of those 3, definitely chose the wrong one in terms of who to vote out. And I'm curious to hear what they have to say, but I think that I won't necessarily believe anything that they have to say about it. It seems to me now. I was so excited by this alliance. I loved the way Lauren created it. You know, I don't want to start off with a quibble, but I guess that's what we're going to do. I really didn't think that Ryan was the right person to target. I really felt that Ryan was the right person to target in that first tribal council. It ended up not actually blowing up in their faces. You know, it ended up playing out well, but you know, let's not be Eliza's and have results oriented thinking. That idol that
you're
Ryan
getting a
had,
tweet on that.
Yeah, that idol that Ryan had.
She's a counterpuncher.
That's right. That idol that Ryan had. I'm not going to dig myself any deeper here. Really could have caused them a lot of problems if he had at all sniffed out what Ben was up to, or even, you know, if he had just done something a little erratic and different.
I don't think you need to couch it. I think you can just say that they made the wrong move and Ryan is still in the game and with, an axe to grind against these players, as opposed to JP, who would have been a bump on a log being like, all right, so just tell me what's going on now. And so he's not even an active participant in the game at this point. So I completely agree with you that they made the wrong decision. And I don't think we need to make it a, but it's no harm, no foul, because none of them got voted out at the next tribal council.
Well, I do think, though, I mean, I hear you that, like, do you want JP in the game at this point, or do you want Ryan in the game? I actually don't think that's a clear-cut decision, Ryan without his idol versus JP. I mean, JP is really strong at these challenges. You know, he hasn't won one yet, but he could win that one that ruins everything. And Ryan is, like, weirdly seems to be, like, toxic to a lot of the other players. I mean, I've obviously loved him all season, but he seems to inspire a lot of ire. You know, Mike was, like, infuriated at Ryan's suggestion that they talk to, you know, that they consider aligning. And then a couple other people were, like,
infuriated. I think he was a little bit like, oh, now you want to work with me. Well, now, no.
But a couple other people were like, and Ryan and Chrissy are so smug, and, you know, this is going to really teach them a lesson. You know, it seemed like it was not just strategic, that there was a personal element to it as well.
But when we go back to the decision that Ryan and Chrissy decided when they voted out Allie over JP, and I believe this was a fishy earning decision, that you had said it's better to get rid of Allie. She's going to be the person with a vendetta against them in the game. And here is Ryan, who seems to be, you know, pretty cross with Devin after this betrayal. And they've left him as somebody still in the game, where JP is going to be the person who's less strategic and also less betrayed remaining in the game. I feel like that it was definitely the wrong decision to go after JP in that spot.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know how many, like, strategic avenues Ryan has open, but I do agree that it was the wrong decision. I mean, to me, it all really came down to the idol. That idol could have been a real thorn in their side. Ended up not, you know, Ryan ended up playing it very conservatively, and they accounted for that. So, you know, but still, I mean, either way, wrong choice. But what do we, I mean, the bigger question in my mind is, was this the right time to make a move? This is something we talk about all the time. When do you make a move? You know, when Tony did it, obviously very successfully against LJ, we both were like, oh, wait, way too soon. What a mistake. Game losing mistake. Obviously, it was not a game. That's how we sounded.
Yeah, you were dead wrong on that one.
Well, yeah, you too. Both of us were dead wrong on that one. But you know, I feel like we've probably both evolved in our thinking. Was this the right time for Lauren, or was this too soon?
Well, you know what? I liked the plan. I think where they lost me a little bit on the plan was then the added Devin layer of, okay, we've got this plan. We're going to flip on those guys. Now, Ben, you're going to be the spy. You're going to vote with Chrissy and Ben, and then you'll be the spy. You report back to us on what they're thinking. Then let's get Joe and Mike and have them also vote with us, because they're going to then think that they're part of. So we'll have them confused. To me, I felt like that we were getting too cute. Did you feel like that was making the plan too complicated?
No. And in fact, that's actually what won me on the plan, was them bringing, was this sort of like Ben spy thing. Was because it seemed like the danger for them is what happens, right, the next, like, not that night necessarily, but what happens afterwards when Ryan and Chrissy start scrambling to, like, flip the script. So the idea to have Ben be a spy, I think, really solves a lot of the problems of the early move, because, you know, you're getting that information from Ryan and Chrissy in terms of, like, what their counterpunch is.
So I felt like that they did Ben a big favor in all of this. It was like they ran interference for Ben throughout this whole situation. And I believe, Stephen, you know, going back to something that you and I talked about when we did the 49 Laws of Survivor, available in the Rob is a Podcast audiobook store. Law number 14 talks about act as the friend, be the spy. But the danger with spies is sometimes that you can send some, when you can't be the spy yourself and you recruit a spy, sometimes the spy ends up actually flipping sides and feeding information to the other side about you. And I think that Ben is in a very interesting position where he is still afforded the option to pull the old Rob Cesternino at the final seven and then switch back to go with Ryan and Chrissy at this next
vote. Well, I agree with you that I think he may flame out at the end, if that's what you're saying.
No siree, Bob. That is not what I'm saying. I actually think
Ben is gonna. Ben is now potentially my winner pick, and I want to talk about that with you later on in the episode. But I think you're right that it's so situational. But here's the counter argument, right? And I'm kind of two minds about it. So I just want to raise the other idea. You know, one reason that we don't see more of this spy double agent behavior is that the people you're in an alliance with hate the idea that you're going to be playing double agent. So if like Devin were to have gone to his group and been like, hey guys, I have a great plan. Why don't I play double agent and actually still vote with them? His whole group would be like, hold on a second. Like, you're clearly double dealing and planning to betray us. And, you know, so for Devin to suggest that someone else do it makes it more palatable. However, as we saw, it puts a big target on Ben because now everyone is suspicious of Ben, right? Everyone in that alliance is like, wait a second. Ben is doing this really well. I mean, maybe he's playing so well. You know, maybe he is going to betray us. So, you know, I kind of think that it could go either way because I agree with you that on the one hand, maybe this is Ben's opportunity to leverage his position between the two groups and, improve his place in the end. On the other hand, it also really ups his profile. And I mean, we even saw Ashley this episode saying, Ben is doing this really well. We got to get him out now.
I mean, if you take a look at the two sides that Ben could potentially go with in this next vote, if you take a look at which side has more people that are potentially unlikable jury people that he would sit next to, I mean, who is more likely to curry jury votes at this point? Is it some combination of Devin, Lauren, and Ashley, or some combination of Ryan, who you said has rubbed people the wrong way, Chrissy's who's rubbed people the wrong way, and Dr. Mike has rubbed people the wrong way? So I think that really Ben would be by far the strongest threat in the final tribal council to go off with the other side, whereas he might have his work cut out for him against a Devin or an Ashley.
And Ben, I think, crucially, when they came back from that first blindside, and you had Devin and Lauren and Joe just gloating about that move, Ben, because he was playing double agent, was not a part of that. So he didn't get kind of painted with that bad brush. I mean, I think the big question is going to be how Ben reveals this to Ryan and Chrissy. Because, you know, if he does it wrong, like that might be the biggest betrayal of all, right? Like to find out not just that someone betrayed you, but that someone was like used your trust against you and was like lying to you about not having betrayed you. I mean, that
Steven, well, let me tell you from the experience that I had in Survivor of the Amazon. And you talk about this all the time. One of your favorite scenes in the history of Survivor. When I came to Matthew and said, Matthew, I have to tell you something. I've been lying to you. Yeah. But let me tell you the truth now. And it is something that people are like, when you're like, oh, I'm so happy that you told me the truth now. It's that they're not, you're going to save us. Oh, great. It's not like, well, you know, I'm still mad at you from when you screwed me before. People are excited about what's to come. Now they're not worried about those past things.
Yeah. Look, I think you're right. I mean, I think it could really kind of, it really just depends on, and that is one of my favorite scenes. I loved that. I love that scene.
I know. Can I also add to this in that I think it was a mistake from the four, the alliance of Lauren and Devin and Ashley to not take Ben.
Oh, I totally disagree.
I think that they should have taken taken the shot on Ben. They had him right where they wanted him. And we don't know who ultimately called it up. From what we saw in the episode, it seemed like Lauren and Ashley were on board and Devin called it off. I
completely disagree with you. And look, I think that it's very likely that Ben is going to win. And so, you know, with that in mind, almost any opportunity to take him out retroactively was the right decision. If that happened, if Ben wins, then obviously after the fact, yes, they should have taken him out, you know, which is always an annoying thing that everyone says about everyone. Oh, why didn't you get him out of the final seven? Well, at the final seven, he wasn't the winner yet. You know, there were a lot of things that happened on the path to him becoming the winner from the final seven. Mm-hmm. But I think from my perspective, if they get, you know, at the final nine, they break off from that from that seven large group. If they immediately turn on each other, then they have nothing. And then they completely, you know, lose any semblance of an alliance. If they first turn on their big group, then even turn on their small group, I think there's no trust anymore between anybody left in the game. And then it's a free for all. And then the people who are in this power position have completely given it up. And Dr. Mike and Joe and Ryan and Chrissy are in as just a good as place as Lauren and Devin.
No, I disagree. Listen to how this would play out if they decided to vote Ben out at that tribal council. And they don't even know that Ben has an idol. So it would have been the added benefit of they blindsided Ben with an idol and gotten that out of the game. Ryan would have flushed his idol at that tribal council. And then you would have had this three of Lauren and Ashley and Devin, and then they still would have had Joe and Dr. Mike with them. They still have three. They only have two. Your only concern there is, would Joe and Dr. Mike go and vote with Chrissy and Ryan at the next vote? That seems like a very unlikely pairing to come together.
Why? You're the final seven of this long season. Of course they would do that. Like, you don't think Joe and Dr. Mike have much loyalty to
that? Joe and Dr. Mike, that they're feeling like, hey, we're in this group of five. You feel like that they would that.
You don't think that Joe and Dr. Mike, like, these, like, Joe is like, of course Joe's going to flip to
they
the four
stand,
away from
can't
the five.
Stand them.
Chrissy, you think Joe and Dr. Mike would not flip to Chrissy and Ryan over Ben? I'm sorry, over Lauren, Devin, and Ashley.
I don't think it would have happened.
They would stay on the bottom of the five rather than flip to a four. I mean, okay, look, like, even if it didn't happen, if you are Lauren, Devin, or Ashley, you have to think there's a very good likelihood that it will happen. And not only that, like, who do you trust? You don't trust each other. If the tribal council, after you blindside your big alliance, you immediately take out one of your small alliance, why would you trust each other at all? There's no reason to trust each other.
If you don't feel like you can beat Ben in the end, then these are the kinds of things that you have to be thinking about. And I think that what you have to do in that five, what the really great Survivor player is doing, is then making a second final three with Joe and Mike. They're already on another planet in terms of what they think is happening. I mean, how hard would it be to sell them, okay, I know I can't beat Ashley and Lauren, I want to go to the final three with you guys. Let's bro down if you're Devin, you know, come up with some other, BS to feed them if you're one of the other people. If somebody can keep them thinking that they have a shot, an inroads to the final three, I don't know why they would necessarily go off and flip to Ryan and Chrissy when those guys have no relationship with them.
Well, they've been on the same beach for a long time. But if you're Devin, right, don't you want Ben in the game because he's such a big threat? Like, if I'm like, I mean, I was in a similar position, right, where you want the, I mean,
granted, how did that go?
It didn't work out for me, but it's worked out for a lot of other people. Yeah. Where you have the big threat in the game at the final five, at the final four, everyone is so focused on them and they have to get them out. I mean, think about Tony in Cagayan. He kept Spencer around because he needed that big threat there. That everyone had to target.
Yeah. I mean, the answer is there is no like perfect, easy solution to all this. Right. It's very complicated and very messy. It's just a matter of what is going to work more times if you do it 100 times. And ultimately, we'll probably never know the answer to a lot of this.
Well, don't you agree though, that from Devin's perspective, it is better to have Ben in the game?
I get at the current moment, unless you flips on him, this is next vote that's coming up. I mean, right. I guess in the short term, it's better to keep him around if he is loyal with him. But
right.
That Ben has basically a number of different avenues that he can go. And they've left Ben with so many options after they've identified him as this amazing threat to ultimately win.
But you are so convinced that Ben and Lauren are an inseparable pair.
No, no. I said that they were at one point. Uh-huh. Now they've afforded the, you know, Ben has had so many different options throughout the game. I'd love to actually talk about the emergence of really two players tonight in Lauren and Devin. Why don't we start with Devin, just because you and I, and I feel like that it's almost gone unnoticed. The effort that you've made to hype up Devin as well in your People blog from last week and identify him.
Why has it gone unnoticed? I spent a lot of time writing that blog. People notice me.
Please. The Survivor news cycle is a 24-hour news cycle, Stephen. You write one blog on Wednesday. People forget about it by Friday.
No, that's not how it should work. People need to be ruminating on the things
I said. You need to start blogging daily, I think. That being said, Stephen, so Devin, and I was starting to really buy into the great Humberto tweeted to me, I'm selling Devin short. He's not the mastermind of this game. He's Michelle Fitzgerald. He's Ethan Zahn. He's the player with the amazing social game who we are underselling. And I'm like, okay, I'm going to come around to that. But this was a completely different Devin who has gone through some sort of it became almost, I would say, a borderline villain of the season. I tweeted, is he now Kylo Ren? That he is somebody who I felt like really emerged with these diabolical plans and started to come off a tad overconfident to me.
Yeah. I mean, my perspective is like looking at it from like the story of the season perspective. Last week I was really all in on Devin being the winner, but I did think that he got his story took like a very dark turn and a very villainous turn. And I agree with you about that. I think that Devin is that final antagonist that, you know, every story and certainly every Survivor season has. There's always that one last antagonist, that the one last big player who our hero or our winner, whether that's Joe or Lauren or Chrissy or whoever, has to overcome in order to win the season. Ben, obviously. I personally think it probably is Ben, but I think that that they are kind of hyping Devin up as the Brett of the season. Brett from Samoa.
Brett Closer. Yeah. What?
Brett, it's a good comparison. Brett comes out of nowhere. Suddenly he's this.
What
like,
is with you and Brett Closer? You were tweeting about him recently.
Brett's on my mind. He just came out with some prints of his nature photography and they're gorgeous. really beautiful stuff.
Are you his agent? His publicist?
I can appreciate beauty, Rob.
Okay.
This idea that like out of basically someone who kind of has had a, Devin's obviously had a much bigger storyline than Brett has, than Brett had in his season, but someone who immediately like spikes as an obstacle to the kind of like last push to the end. Devin certainly seems to be playing that role this season. I think he does a lot of really subtle stuff and I want to highlight two things. Can I highlight two things in specific?
You can highlight as many things as you want. Mm. Yeah. So you're like Ben after the vote. Yes.
Yeah.
Well, finally.
The first one was at the reward when they're first making this alliance and they get their letters from home and everyone starts crying and, they're very weepy, like big emotional moment as it always is. And Devin says something to the effect of, this is going to bond us. That beer really started to bond us, but this, we can't go back on this moment. And I think, it was a really subtle, perhaps insidious, perhaps devious way of using the powerful family moment as a way to kind of reinforce the strength of the alliance, but not be over the top about it. And the second one I want to talk about is at Tribal Council, the first Tribal Council, Jeff Probst asks Devin like some question about like, do you think that like Dr. Mike and Joe are going to be able to find cracks in the alliance? And it's such like a gotcha question, like either you take the path of like that Reed did in San Juan del Sur and say something to the effect of there are no cracks in our alliance. That would be impossible. And then Dr. Mike and Joe freak out. Or you say something like, yeah, I absolutely think Dr. Mike and Joe are going to be able to find cracks. And then your other allies freak out. And Devin just had this perfect hedge. He like, they're looking for cracks every day. Maybe one day they will find one. Maybe they won't. There's no say. So it was like this perfect, like, I'm saying absolutely nothing. I'm playing up my whole surfer boy persona, but I'm actually like just walking this very narrow line between two dangerous paths.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think is, you know, a lot of different ways out of that question that I think you could give the old, hey, Jeff, it's Survivor. You never know what's going to happen.
Yeah.
But then it's like, give me an answer.
Yeah.
Yeah. So Devin really, you know, continued through both hours of the show to really be sort of like the driving force through a lot of this. And really, I thought almost came off as a different guy. Do you feel like that he got away from what was successful for him for 27 days?
But it seemed like, I mean, it seemed like it's just in confessionals, right? We're just seeing in confessionals him maybe chewing the scenery a little bit more. I don't really see it necessarily in interpersonal relationships. He's still got that kind
you
of
you didn't see it when he came back from that tribal council and yeah. I mean, everybody Christine Ryan commented on, you know, basically, and even when he made that fire with Ryan, that I don't know why he needed to put Ryan in his place and tell him exactly what he did wrong, that why he lost his trust, and I don't know if you're gonna get my trust back. I thought that I'm misquoting him, but I thought that he did a bad job of sort of like really highlight, like there was no reassurance to Ryan in terms of smoothing things over, where Ryan, I think, came away from it feeling like, you know, Devin is somebody I need to get, that he has wronged me just like Ashley wronged you guys. Devin wronged me.
Oh, that's interesting, because I actually saw that conversation the other way, where I kind of saw that as Devin trying to explain himself to Ryan, saying, I did this because, you know, I felt really wrong, so I was acting out in response to that. But, you know, we do still have this bond.
Mm-hmm. Let's talk about the second vote, where we ended up going a little bit more. And so obviously there was the chance to go after Ben. Do you feel like that in terms of Ryan and Chrissy, was there anything that they could have done potentially using Chrissy's fake idol?
I mean, Devin knows about the fake idol. I don't think that fake idol had much leverage. I'm sure everyone
fake idol doesn't seem to be getting a good edit here.
No, I mean, the fake idol did serve a purpose, right? Was that it brought Ryan and Chrissy together? You know, whether that was a beneficial purpose or not, hard to say. You know, I could see Chrissy going to the end. I could see, you know, I really feel like almost anybody left could make it to the end.
I felt a little bad for Joe and Dr. Mike, because they seemed very confident and they were just like in La La Land in terms of like they were buying this fake story hook, line and sinker. And they were so convinced that they were in a good spot, and they were getting a little smug.
Oh, I just thought they were just like loopy. I mean, it seemed like they had like lost their mind.
The coconuts.
Yeah.
Well, let's go back to the opening of the episode where we had a little bit more of the fallout of Dr. Mike ending up saving Joe. Now, it looked like it did serve them well that they were the two votes that the other alliance needed to go after JP. But do you feel like that same outcome would have happened if Joe was out of the game?
Where... Well, you're saying if Joe was...
I guess you're right. And there was no scenario where Joe was going to be out of the game. Just for that Dr. Mike, what it ended up being was that we got all this, that Dr. Mike felt like that he needed to do what he did and play his idol because he needed to protect Joe
right
at that previous vote. And then him and Joe were sort of like attached at the hip from that point on. And I don't know necessarily if that was a good thing.
Yeah, I mean, so you think like if they had voted out Joe at 9, would Dr. Mike have been in a better position?
I think they were going to vote out Cole anyway. But if Dr. Mike would have not played his idol.
No, after Cole at the instead of JP.
Yeah. I think that Dr. Mike is has ended up playing himself into this weird position where he's an antagonist now to the group. I don't think he's going to go next here at 7, but I felt like that nobody was worried about him. And I felt like that he was somebody that people could have really forgotten about. And I felt like he really raised his profile after last week's tribal council. And I still don't think that was a smart move.
Well, I mean, you got to, at some point, you do have to raise your profile. Now, maybe he's doing it way too soon, right? Maybe that's really the problem. Yeah. 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 You know, that it's, I mean, obviously, would Dr. Mike be better served to have an idol right now than to not have an idol right now? Yeah. Yeah. I'll say yes.
Mm-hmm. Especially with an idol that nobody knew about as well.
Right. Yeah, of course. I mean, but it's, you know, who knows? If you think there's a risk, you're going to go home. I mean, that's the problem with these idols and these advantages. You just don't know. And in fact, when it's so rare to have the knowledge and the means, you know, the knowledge that the vote is coming your way and the means to save yourself at the exact same moment.
Yeah. Can I tell you something else I thought was a questionable decision tonight was when we got to the point when, okay, let's tell Dr. Mike and Joe we're voting out Ben. It's like, okay, well, we need to tell them a fake plan. Okay. How about this for the fake plan? Let's tell Joe and Dr. Mike about Lauren's extra vote here, which is a secret. Not everybody knows about that.
Yeah, that was so weird.
Yeah, I thought that that was odd to tell them about it. Like, I will tell them about Lauren's extra vote. And then I guess they could deny it after the fact. But I thought that that was giving up a lot of information to these guys that they're going to end up burning.
Yeah, I mean, I guess, like, you know, given that they're going to think that Chrissy, Ryan and Ben are voting together, there's got to be a viable plan that would also account for an idol. So I actually, just for simplicity, I mean, I don't know. It's tough. It's tough.
These fake plans can get you into trouble, Steven.
Yeah. Yeah.
What else from tonight's episode? I'm sure there's so many things that we are overlooking. I mean, be sure to get those in for the questions.
Yeah, I mean, it was a big episode. To me, the big question was, is this too soon for Lauren? You know, we always say, I feel like, or I always say, you know, that as soon as your alliance turns on itself, you're really in risk of jeopardizing everything you have because you do fracture trust. It seemed like this was late enough in the game that, it was the right people that Lauren is, or that group is able to stick together. Obviously you think that they shouldn't even stick together. But I really disagree.
You know, I said we were going to talk about Devin and talk about Lauren, and then I feel like we did a disservice to Lauren. So that she really emerged in that first hour where she won the Baylor foot reward challenge, and then she ended up picking her group to go on a reward. And then she basically was like, okay, this is the four. This is what we're doing. And everybody seemed on board.
Yeah, it was incredible. She so completely called her shot. She won the reward. She picked her three people. She laid out her plan, and everyone like was into it. It was really phenomenal. She's so great. She's such a great character.
She is a fantastic character. She's been a lot of fun this season, Steven. But do you feel like that she has put herself in a good position?
I mean, that's my question. Is she in a good position? I think the answer is yes. I think that the way she made this specific move was well done, to the point that she's only advancing her position in the game. She's putting herself in control of the controlling alliance, and she's giving herself a real viable survivor resume, which until this point she hasn't really had, right? Like, she's got to be able to say something to the jury. And up until now, it's been, you know, I convinced them to vote out someone else on that first tribe I was on, and I've got this extra vote. You know, this is really her signature move.
Yeah. I mean, looking good. Everybody loves Lauren, but is she somebody who can win in the final three with this alliance that she made? Would you?
I mean,
I think she would beat Ashley, correct? I think that that's fair to say.
Yeah.
Would she beat Devin?
And we don't, I mean, that's the thing. Like, is how salty is Ryan going to be about being betrayed by Devin? You know, how it's so hard to say.
Would
the final seven, you know, because the final seven is really where the jury is composed. It's like those betrayals that they're making right now are going to define the how people feel going into that vote.
Mm-hmm. I mean, does she need a Dr. Mike in there potentially?
Yeah. I mean, that would be the dream, right? Her, Dr. Mike, and Ashley. Yeah.
That would be good. I mean, I think it really, everything hinges on King Arthur. You know, it's come full circle all around the round table for Ben, where he really holds all the power going into this next vote coming up, because Dr. Mike is going to be salty again with those guys that told him the wrong thing. And then he's going to be back at the bottom with Chrissy and with Ryan. We saw that scene of Dr. Mike and Ryan having a conversation. You said that he was incensed. I think that maybe it was at least checking in. And I think that there's some groundwork there. We also saw Dr. Mike with Chrissy tonight in terms of him trying to pick up her spirits. So I definitely could see him going over to them. And you just need one person. Ben seems like the likely
candidate. Wait a second. Wait a second. You can see Dr. Mike going over to Chrissy?
Yeah.
You just did a whole thing about how Dr. Mike and Joe would never work with Chrissy and Ryan.
That was in the alternate universe where Joe was still there.
I see.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Now he's okay. But now his back is against the wall. His back wasn't going to be against the wall in the other scenario.
Yeah.
He was going to be on his high horse.
Yeah. I don't know.
Okay.
A lot of lies.
All right.
Yeah.
All right. Let's get into some of the questions that we have from you guys. Okay. All right. Let's start it off with Sam, who wants to know, does Mike have a chance at the jury votes after being so far out of the loop on what's going on for so long? I feel like he had a whole fictional narrative this week. Absolutely. Mike and Joe were on another planet for this episode. Yeah,
I felt bad for them too. You were saying earlier that you felt bad for them. I also felt bad for them. Yeah, like because they were so sure that they were in this great thing and they just were not at all. And the show really made them look wrong. You know, the show didn't even like a little bit give you their perspective. It really made them look completely out of touch.
Dr. Mike gave us the analogy of
the surgeons.
It's like you have two surgeons and they didn't know what they were doing. We know what we're doing. It's like,
yeah, this surgeon doesn't even know like what
you're operating on the wrong patient.
Yeah, exactly. That's where I was going.
Okay. What about Joe Brochacho?
Joe Brochacho wants to know, when future Survivor castaways fill in their bios, what former Survivor player are you most like? Will Lauren Rimmer oust Parvati as the new strong strategic female role model? What do you think, Rob?
One, Andrea has already ousted Parvati as the strong female challenge competitor who's strategic. Now, will Lauren Rimmer oust Andrea?
I don't think so, because I think it's a very specific type who says that all says Parvati or that all says Andrea. It's often these younger ladies who have not seen a lot of the show. They're given a couple of seasons, usually the season with Andrea or Parvati, to watch in advance. I don't think casting's going to be like, you know, go pitch yourself to CBS as the new Lauren Rimmer.
I think Andrea should watch her back. I'm going to text Andrea that she should be like trying to subtly like take down Lauren so Lauren doesn't come in and take her job or anything.
I mean, I would be all in on an Andrea versus Lauren season.
Okay. Marcus, what do you think? Final two this season? No way, right?
No, I don't think.
I mean, right. I mean, we haven't done this math yet, but okay. So we are now down to seven. After our night in Austin, Texas, we'll be down to six.
I mean, it could happen.
I mean, I guess so. It's certainly possible. We'll get down to six, right? And then we'll have one other episode. We'll be back here live in the studio. We'll get down to five.
Actually, final four in the last episode. Maybe it is the final two this season. Sorry, we were so dismissive.
So after next week, it will get down to six. Yeah. And then after the following week, we'll get down to five.
Oh, right. So five going
then
into
we'll
the
have
finale.
Two tribal councils in the finale. That looks like we're on track for a final three.
It could be a final two. I mean, they've had final sixes going into the final three, so it's possible.
Right, but those were in 20 person seasons. Yeah. So I'm trying to remember the last 18 person season that they had. That was in Ko Rong. I think was that it. I think that was the last 18 person season, and they actually had a final three, but they had the challenge to vote somebody out of the jury. So that was a little. They had a lot of meta.
It's always a little bit, like all of like the weird advantages or whatever. It's really unfortunate. It's always like kind of like a just bring back the rites of passage.
Just do it. The finale is December 20th. To confirm.
So final three, likely.
Okay. What about the great Lita?
The great Lita wants to know, is there any chance Chrissy crying in the shelter was pulling an intentional Marasca?
Hold on, no. Wow. Well, okay. All right. Go ahead.
I've never heard of an intentional.
That's a loaded question. Okay. Keep going.
Well, you're the expert. Knowing it was between her and Ryan, she tried to appear weaker. I know she for real cried in confessional, but maybe she was playing it up to the trial.
Okay. All right. So did Chrissy appear weak to try to get the tribe to vote out Ryan and keep the trap the weaker person in the game? It's a great theory. I don't believe that that was the case. If you noticed, that looked to me, Stephen, as the first day that it rained, seemingly in this season. I think that, as you know better than anybody, the weather can really play havoc with people out there, and you will be at your lowest low when the weather turns sour like that.
Yeah, and they look like they're running on fumes. I mean, they look gone.
Yeah. Steven, I thought when Lita asked about Chrissy pulling an intentional Marasca, I thought she was going to talk about sitting out of the challenge and trying to get some candy and peanut butter.
Yeah. What did you know, it's funny that it was Lauren, Ben, and Devin, yes, who sat out. The three people who had just ate. And the reason is because after you have a reward
more
on
food.
Survivor, you're always just hungrier. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, Steven, back in my day, if you wanted to get some peanut butter and chocolate in the reward challenge, okay, you had to work for it.
Yeah. I was fine with this result.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Let's go to another question. This one is from Joe Daly. If you're worried at Tribal and then you hear Joe say, "This is the most comfortable I've ever been," is that an obvious clue that he is going home and to save the idol? Well, no, I don't think that you get like that sort of like the edit irony there of, yeah, if Joe says he's comfortable, that means he's going home. What you didn't hear in the real Tribal Council was like six other people say that they
exactly
were also comfortable and they weren't going home. It's just, it's different when you're seeing the televised version.
Right. They include it on TV because of the irony.
Right. That, you know, somebody like, "Oh, I'm 100% safe tonight. No way I'm going home." Like, people actually say that and then don't go home in real life.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. All right. Matthew Muccio wants to know, what is Ryan's best move now that he no longer has an idol? Can't trust Ben and Mike and Devin. Don't want to work with him.
Well, just because you can't trust them and you don't want to work with them doesn't mean that you shouldn't. I mean, I still think that Ben has this inroads. I do. I think that you and I are on the same page here with Ben. I think that it's his game to lose. I was doubting him for a bit, but now I'm starting to see a pretty clear path for him.
Yeah. And in fact, he was originally my winner pick. And last week I was so convinced by this couple at the Live Know-It-Alls who like came up to me and was like, what do you think of Devin as the winner? And they like sold it to me.
You got
so
on the Devin hype train.
But I'm back onto Ben. It was just a moment of oscillation away, but I could see either of them winning. And in fact, I could see a lot of the people this season winning.
Yeah. It's a pretty open season.
Yeah. Jacob Buck, on a related question, says, do you feel that everyone left in the game could be considered a villain? Rob, something I want to say about this season, which has been great, is that it really is like we've seen much more complex characters across the board. I don't think you can point to any one person who has a all good, like stereotypical winner's edit. You know, Ben, who's my winner's pick, has certainly had some bad moments. All of them have.
They should do a season that is called Villains versus Villains. Yeah, you're right. I think that everybody, the show has done an excellent job of giving us story and sort of like good moments and bad moments for everybody, that there's nobody across the board that we've seen only in a positive light or anybody that we've seen only in a negative light. Even Joe, who certainly had villainous moments, we've seen him crying, talking about his family and I think outside of JP, who we didn't really get any of those moments, certainly of the people that are left, we have something for everybody. Ashley got something tonight.
Yeah.
So, you know, great job. I've said it all season long. This was a outstanding cast. And even though that there was not excitement at every turn, I've been invested in these people the whole season.
And, you know, they did a great job. I mean, the pre-merge was a little slow because during the pre-merge, they kind of got rid of a lot of these players who were not going to be probably great players.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Let's keep going. Steven, this is from Matt, who is a fantastic musician. If Ryan thinks that he is truly on the bottom and has no chance ever for immunity, shouldn't he have just held on to it? What is three more days going to get him? He needs the idol to bounce someone out that isn't working with him. I mean, do you see any wisdom in keeping the idol if you're Ryan?
I mean, obviously, you know, knowing that he wasn't the target, but you know, to Matt's question of like, what is three more days going to get him? Three more days is a tremendous opportunity on Survivor. Yeah. It's like a chip in a chair kind of scenario, where so much can happen in 3 days. Someone can blow up, an alliance can fall apart. You know, you could win a crucial reward. You could find another idol. I mean, there's so much that can happen in 3 days that, you know, just this plan. I mean, that's whole Chandra's whole strategy, right? Just like, not me this week.
Yeah. Let me ask you a question. You know, we were talking about that the tribal council. Oh, when you hear Joe say that, oh, I'm feeling comfortable tonight, then you know he's going to be going home. But in terms of in Survivor, when we saw Ben say to Ryan, like, hey, if I were you, I'd play your idol tonight. You know, there's that great moment in Heroes versus Villains where Amanda says to Parvati, hey, if I were you, I would definitely play your idol tonight. Yeah. And it seems as though when we see it on the show that people are trying to flush the idol when they tell another player, hey, if I were you, I'd play your idol tonight.
Right.
But Steven, when you played in Cambodia, was that a thing that does somebody ever give another player friendly advice of, hey, I would play your idol tonight if you have it? Or is that almost always an idol flush scenario if somebody tells you to play your idol?
Yeah, I mean, I'm trying to think. Like, I know that Spencer tried to flush Joe's idol, which Joe didn't have.
Most of the idols that were, you know, it was unclear who had
them. Secret, yeah. So I don't think that, yeah, that's a really good question. Like, how, I mean, I actually thought Ben did a decent job of underselling it. I mean, of course, with Amanda and Parvati, it was like the most over the top, really play your idol against, you know, one of the most subtle, like emotionally subtle, astute players the game has ever seen, you know. So that was pretty extreme. I thought Ben did a good job. You know, he didn't oversell it. He's like, well, maybe you should play your idol. And then the round was like, well, we'll see. And I was like, okay. You know, he did a pretty good job.
And let me give credit where credit is due to Devin and whoever else conspired on the spy plan, because I think that that was probably the biggest benefit of the spy plan.
Yeah.
That Ben was able to still be seen as a trusted ally of Ryan and Chrissy and could tell Ryan, hey, hey, bud, I'd play your idol if I were you.
Whereas, oh, yeah. I mean, that's like the whole point of the spy plan.
Yeah. I think they also want to know where those votes were going,
right,
ultimately.
Sure.
As well, but that was a huge part of that. Okay. Ian wants to know, should Ryan have played Chrissy's fake idol tonight? He'd still have his real idol, and Ryan and Devin and Ben would probably assume he never had a real idol to begin with. So we talked about that Devin knew about the fake idol. I mean, could Ryan have, everybody knew Ryan had the idol. If he gets the fake idol from Chrissy, Did he show it to people? Like, does it look significantly different? Whereas he's like, all right, I guess I'll have to play my idol tonight, but he plays the fake idol and doesn't like call attention to it. People thought he had the real idol.
We don't know if we showed it. We know that he told them it was in his pants.
Yes. He did say that. That would be an interesting move. That'd be an interesting move. I believe Ryan thought he was potentially going home. So
yeah, if I'm Ryan in that scenario, I 100% think that they are at least splitting votes on me, right?
Yeah.
Because like, why wouldn't they? I mean, assuming if you think they're not going to, you know, if you don't think they're going to turn on Joe, there's you and Chrissy are left. There's five of that. There's six of them. Like, why wouldn't they split votes on you?
Yeah, he'd have to be like Houdini and wear the real idol and then sort of do like sleight of hand and then say, okay, I'll give it to Jeff, and then like have it like up his long sleeve turtleneck sleeve.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
I'm sure they've shown people like the Chrissy idol too.
Probably. Okay. Yeah. What about Jonah?
I mean, you don't have that much to talk about out there. Jonah wants to know, did Devin make himself too big of a target tonight? At the start of the episode, everyone wants to take him to the end. Now people have to be wary of him moving forward. That's what you're saying, Rob Sesternino.
Yeah, I wonder if he just unmasked himself too early. I really do believe that, you and Josh Wiggler and a lot of the people that were on the Devin hype train.
Josh before me. You got to give Josh credit.
Josh before you, but I felt like that did articulate it particularly well. As again in your blog from last week, that He was like, okay, well, here's somebody everybody wants to work with him. Here's a guy who's in a great position. Now, you know, half the people in the game end up mad at him. And now he's in a, you know, he's really that there is one path to the end for him. And
well, but I don't necessarily, I mean, I think we're getting a picture in an edit that says that, but I don't necessarily agree with that. I mean, so listen, like, right, Lauren comes to him and it's like, we're going to betray our alliance. We've got this big move to make. If Devin takes that path, he is inherently going to piss off the people he's betraying, right? That's just like the nature of that move. So either he takes that move with Lauren and pisses those people off, or he doesn't take that move and alienates Lauren. I mean, in that moment, I think the move, Devin does the correct thing.
Yeah. I mean, he kind of was in like, he almost had no choice that he ends up, he got picked by Lauren to go on the reward challenge. Lauren's like, okay, guys, this is the four. This is the plan. He did then at that point blurt out, Ryan has an idol, you know, and he gave up all of his goods. He sort of like ended up pushing all in with that group, whereas it's sort of like he didn't really have the chance to hedge at that point and sort of be noncommittal. But he was really all in. I think that, you know, the thing that's also tricky about it is we are seeing all his confessionals talking about now all of a sudden, Lauren's a good player. I thought she's almost as good of a player as I am. I'm a tremendous player. I'm amazing.
Yeah. Look, I mean, we're seeing these like very over the top confessionals. I agree. But I think from his actual game perspective, I mean, in my mind, and I think you and I disagree, in my mind, keeping Ryan is better for Devin than keeping JP. Because from my perspective, like Ryan and Devin still have some sort of longstanding relationship that can be mended and can be like they can work together versus like, you know, I don't think Ryan and JP, I don't think Devin and JP ever had anything.
And I think that you're being hypocritical because when it came down to Ryan keeping Allie in the game or keeping JP, you felt like that the right move was to get rid of Allie.
I'm saying for Devin, it's better to keep Ryan because they have a relationship.
Yeah. What? Just like Ryan had a relationship with Allie, but you felt like getting rid of Allie was the right move for Ryan in the pre-merge.
Yeah, but it was incredibly different. You know, we're talking like day 18. Allie is like now expressly saying, you know, Ryan and Allie right after that tribal council had this big blow up, right? Where that was. And then Allie is expressly saying, you know, she wants to get and then she's about to go into the merge where she's going to basically be an independent operator, right? So in that scenario, and who did they end up? They kept JP, right? Who's going to have fewer options? I mean, those are they're just so completely different. It's like at the swap right before the merge versus like right before the end game. You know, now I mean, if we can go, we could. I mean, you know, Allie at that was an incredibly social player who it really seemed like if she did make it to the merge would have a wealth of options and strategic possibilities ahead of her. Conversely, Ryan right now has very few strategic options and possibilities. Devin is one of his few outlets, for at least from my perspective. You know, he's got Chrissy. Devin's his other best relationship left in the game.
So the variable for you is the time left in the game.
Well, a time. I mean, there's like a. I mean, there's countless variables. Like I there's the time left in the game. There's the different people we're talking about. There's the different relationships that they all have with each other. There's the different possibilities for randomness.
Look, I'm just trying to follow all of the fishback rules. I want to make sure that I have this one opportunity a week to pick your brain, and I want to make sure I'm understanding everything.
But it's like saying, well, you know, in Survivor Samoa on day six, you were saying
we have almost identical scenarios and in both cases that the other option was to keep JP in the game. So you have this bump on a log, and one time you said it was good to keep the bump on the log in the game, and another time you say that it's not as good.
Yeah, and because of their dramatically different scenarios. I mean, also, you know, it's like Allie had so many other opportunities, right, going into the merge. It would have been easy for her to shift the power dynamics away from Ryan at that point, you know, and to really versus now. Well, you disagree, right? You think that it would be better for Devin to have JP in the game than Ryan.
Would it be better for Devin to have JP in the game? No, I think that Ryan is somebody that Devin will still have to worry about, where I think that if I'm Devin, I could sleep easier at night knowing that here's somebody who poses almost no threat to me that's still in the game, as opposed to somebody who could be conspiring against me.
Right. I mean, it's fair. It's fair. I felt like Ryan and I haven't given up hope on Devin and Ryan's relationship. You know, I hope that bromance still has legs.
Right. And it would be a great move for Devin if he can, you know, smooth this over. He has not done that yet. We saw Ryan talking about tonight. Okay. Devin screwed me over. We've got screwed over by 25-year-old surfers. Can you believe it? You know, it didn't seem like that. While Ryan tried to save face, I felt like that was not a mended relationship yet.
Yeah. Well, you know that I always believe in the bromance, Rob.
You believe in the bromance. Could the poor man's JT and Steven get back together?
Oh my God. That's a generous.
To who? All right. We got so much going on right now on robhasawebsite.com as we are closing in on the end of November. The Taran Show with the great Mike Bloom. I've been hearing rave reviews about Mike Bloom on the Taran Show. Deep dive with Mike Bloom. Of course, News AF talked about Guy Fieri Con. Steven, do you ever check out News AF?
I did once.
Once, but it wasn't for you. It wasn't your cup of tea.
I just have so little time to listen to podcasts. You know,
no, I don't believe that. I believe you listen to a lot of podcasts. Yeah. I could see you have no kids. I could see you listening to podcasts 5 hours.
No, but that's it. That's it. Like you're like, you know, you're listening to podcasts while you're parenting. You know, I'm off doing other things.
Yeah. Guys, and of course we will have our exit interview with Joe and the answer to our email questions and things like that from JP coming up, and of course Hannah Shapiro will be here with me in the studio on Thursday, and then of course on Friday I'm going to be speaking with the great Bryce Isaiah. So get your voicemail questions in. That's going to be a little earlier. I've been doing those on Saturday this season. I'm doing that one on Friday. So don't wait around for your voicemails. robhaswebsite.com/voicemail or 323-282-RHAP. You could also email the show, survivor@robhaswebsite.com. On the RHAP B&B, the great Nick Yadanza is going to be talking with Mike Bloom and Liana Boris. And then on Why Blank Lost, double episode, we'll be talking about why JP lost and why Joe lost with David Bloomberg and Jessica Lewis. Look for that on the Wrap Ups feed or in the Survivor feed itself. And Steven Fishback, in just 7 days, you and I will be together with a star-studded lineup in Austin, Texas. Final know-it-alls of the year.
Final live know-it-alls of the year.
Live show.
Rob, this was a great one. This was so much fun. I love that this episode, there was a lot to talk about and that we really disagreed. I felt like it's best when there's good strategic meat in the episode and we have completely different viewpoints, me right and you wrong.
Yet we're both saying we think that Ben is looking like the number one pick to be the winner of the season. So we have different roads of getting there. Why players are screwing up, but we're both feeling like that the fishy for Ben tonight. Is that how you're seeing it?
You know, I'm giving fishies to those three people. It was a double episode. I can give three fishies. It was like two. I mean, my God, you know, that's like 1.5 fishies per episode. That's not that bad.
1.5 fishies. It's almost like the speed that you listen to all those podcasts, all those hours.
Oh my
a day.
God. It's true. 1.5. Lauren for that great move, right? Epic move from Lauren in creating this. I thought Devin really finessed a lot of things. Certainly. I really liked the secret agent Ben thing. I know you're not as big a fan of it, and Ben played it so perfectly. I mean, Ben really, really, really sold that so well.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. We will see how it all goes. Hashtag tonight, Steven.
Oh God, I don't know.
Okay. One and a half fishies.
What a believe in the bromance.
Believe in the bromance. Okay. Steven Fishback's motto. You have that in Chinese characters on your lower back, right?
Yeah, that's my.
All right. Of course, come see us in Austin, Texas. If you can make it there, look, wherever you are, if you leave now, you can get there. robhasawebsite.com/AustinKIA. Thanks so much to Scott St. Pierre behind the scenes. Take care.
Thank you,
have a great
Scott.
Night.
Bye. Bye.